Our gospel lesson today is from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, found in your pew Bibles on page 2 and on page 3 in the large print edition. This is the word of God for us. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation.
Thanks be to God.
Who doesn't love John the Baptist with his locusts and his wild honey? I mean, he is a wild one. He doesn't mince words. He spends his time in the wilderness. From his clothing to his diet, he is something else. And he is Jesus' best known contemporary. When Mary found out she was pregnant, the first family member she told was her cousin Elizabeth. And this helps us to understand the special closeness between Jesus and John. This is the one person in her life that Mary knew she could confide in, the one who would understand and be happy with her in this miracle. And amazingly, when she heard the news, John leapt in his mother's womb. So it's a safe bet that Mary knew Elizabeth's story as well. Mary would have known why Elizabeth's husband and priest Zechariah was struck silent until it was time to name his child. Knowing this closeness between these women, we can imagine the friendship that the boys shared in their childhood. Perhaps young Jesus and John were schooled together. Maybe their mutual intimacy with the divine set them a little apart from the other kids. They might have shared heightened spiritual awareness that sealed their friendship as those who were different from the other kids they encountered. Whatever it was, John's followers and Jesus' followers knew one another. They came into maturity in the shadow of their mother's closeness and grew together to be leaders of the way of God. So in Matthew chapter 3, We witness a day in John's ministry. He is in the wilderness of Judea, calling to people from Jerusalem. He is bringing them out of the city, out of the places of order and culture and civilization, and into the unpredictable places of the wild and the untamed, out to the banks of the River Jordan. The wilderness is a liminal place. It's an in-between place. Sometimes you might hear someone refer to their favorite retreat center, like Ghost Ranch or Montreat, as a liminal place. Liminal places are considered thin places, where the separation between heaven and earth is less defined. Places that are peaceful, like a porch at twilight, or your favorite fishing spot at dawn, or a mountaintop, can also be liminal places. Part of the liminality of these places is the sense that change is possible, because places like these are somehow in between, undefined, unconquered, and uncontrolled. And this is the wilderness setting that John uses for his revival. This wilderness will be a recurring theme in Matthew's gospel. The scripture tells us that people from Judea and the Jerusalem district were coming to see John and hear his message. Some of them were coming to see what kind of trouble might be brewing in the desert. When an event is getting this much attention, the officials start to get suspicious. And this is likely how the Sadducees and the Pharisees find themselves on the scene. Now, traditionally, these two groups of religious leaders would not be on the same side of an argument. But in Matthew's gospel, they are united in drawing John's ire. So imagine the scene. These two different dignified groups of priestly figures with political influence and proper manners, dressed in fine robes and linens that would attest to their success and readily identify them as important leaders. And contrast this to John, who has been roughing it, at least on his recent campaign, wearing camel hair and a leather belt. Now, when leather is worn, we usually can't identify what animal it came from because it's been tanned and it's been treated, but not for John. It's clearly a camel skin. It isn't tailored. It hasn't been shaped to fit the body. It's plain animal hide, like warm weather attire for Grizzly Adams. If his choices for attire and location aren't startling enough, we are told about his simple but crunchy diet: locusts and honey. He is literally living off the land, eating what is within reach. And he doesn't hesitate to call out leaders as vipers. Indeed, religious leaders that stunt the spiritual growth of their sheep are the spawn of deadly poisonous snakes that destroy their communities from the inside. So how does this prophet, with untamed habits and unleashed tongue, bring us the attitude of Advent peace? By calling us to repent. Above all of the strange details, his rhetoric speaks the loudest of all. In this gospel, it is John who declares, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." In Mark, this message is reserved for Jesus. But the call for repentance is a call for us to turn from our selfish and mindless habits. It is a wake-up call to prune away the excess, to curb our appetites, and to simplify our lives. God's grace overflows, but we must be aware of it to realize its full impact. Repentance is an opening for God to transform us into instruments of peace. The transformation brought about by repentance and grace can lead to radical vision of God's peace described by Isaiah. The lion and the lamb together have become an iconic image, even though they aren't actually paired in this text. Other predator-prey pairings make this image of peace almost unimaginable, except that we read it, hear it, see it so many times that we hardly even notice the impossibility. Like a smiling pig advertising for a delicious barbecue joint, it doesn't make sense at all, but we don't think twice about it. These images of animal odd couples and untamed places help to jostle, rattle, and shake us out of our comfortable stupor. This dis-ease with what it takes is what it takes to awaken us to the possibility of God's reign of peace. The kind of peace that is the opposite of surrender. The kind of peace that demands justice over complacency. One so complete that animals that have lived as predators and prey will be able to lie down together without danger and without fear. Peace that creates better life for humanity and a better world for all that exists. As Isaiah describes, the Lord comes to judge with righteousness, not with evidence seen by ears, seen by eyes, or heard by ears, but by the higher, incorruptible standard of righteousness. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge, these belong to our Savior. These are the qualities that shape the reign of God that has broken into our world with the miracle of incarnation. May we discover the impossible possibilities of God's shalom through the wonders of lions and lambs, locusts and wild honey. The birth of Jesus brings peace into our midst, and God has come to dwell among us. That is the impossible peace that we embrace as we once again prepare for the birth of the Son. Now to the God of all wisdom, who strengthens us according to the gospel through Jesus Christ, be all glory forever. Amen. Amen.